Award-winning journalist Michael D'Antonio made headlines with his recent unauthorized biography of Donald Trump, The Truth About Trump. And now in his new book, A Consequential President, The Legacy of Barack Obama, he once again provides an informed look at an influential political powerhouse. With a combination of on-the-ground reporting and in-depth analysis, D'Antonio checks the promises Obama made going into office against the president's performance. He looks at Obama's major successes, his less noticed ones, as well as his deep failures. The name of the book is A Consequential President, The Legacy of Barack Obama. Michael D'Antonio is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist for his work at Newsday, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Michael, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Given that we are in the final hours of the Obama administration, is it ever too early to talk about legacy of a president?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm really engaged here in the first draft of history. I went around the country in the last 18 months and spoke to people who had been affected directly by the president's policies. I also met with people in the administration and did all the reading I could do on both his initiatives, but also the obstacles that he faced. And I'm really trying to offer that first assessment where we look at his promises, and he made a lot of them. Every incoming president rides into office on a wave of promises. And then, you know, what he actually accomplished and where he let people down, because the book isn't just a couple hundred pages of giving the guy credit. I try to hold him accountable for where he fell short.
So let's talk about the beginning and the expectations that were that we had for him going into office. Here was the first African-American president, the first president to be born in the 1960s. He was of mixed race and the first president who was brought up with a technology background. So where was his starting point, his baseline going in to the office?
Well, you put your finger on many of the key qualities that distinguished him. He was a post-50s figure and very comfortable with tech. If you contrast that with the fellow who's about to become president, and note that he may understand Twitter, but that's about all he understands about technology, the difference is even more striking. One of Obama's key achievements was restoring a lot of our grid to the highest standard available, the electric grid, and that was a very unglamorous activity, but he was really determined to do it because he understood how energy supplies and technology represented the future of the economy. So there are a lot of things like that, and as you mentioned, just the mere fact of his election. Here was our first African-American president. He had a very unusual name, Barack Hussein Obama. I think he was certainly the first person elected president who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize before he finished his first year in office. So this whole thing of hope and what he represented as a change for America and for the world wasn't exactly an achievement, but it certainly is something recognized as a thing of consequence, and he achieved that just by his mere presence and his election.
And you make this point in the book, and I think it's an interesting one, which is that with all of these expectations, that sure, it was probably too much to expect of anyone, and especially coming out of the previous 8 years of a rough time and following 9/11 and those years of the Bush administration, there was a point where it was inevitable that he was going to disappoint someone and especially his most ardent supporters.
Well, that's a good point. I don't think he surprised his critics because they expected him to be relatively assertive on his progressive policies, and He was a more liberal Democrat than Bill Clinton and pursued policies that were considered pretty liberal. But he was almost expected to be the second coming by his supporters. I went back and looked at some of the rallies prior to his election, and even if you see the speech he gave in Berlin in the summer of 2008, it was his one foreign trip during the campaign. That was like a rock concert, and you know, he didn't deliver a very good address that time, but it didn't matter. People were so enthralled that I think they went ahead of themselves when it came to expectations. They thought this person was going to change everything. I've actually had quite a bit of correspondence from people who've looked at the book and read it and appreciate him, but they write to me that they were personally disappointed that he didn't achieve more, almost as if he could, with a wave of the hand, create policy. And that kind of obscures the fact that he was opposed quite fervently by a unified GOP in the House and the Senate.
Let's talk a little bit about that opposition, an opposition that was determined to thwart his every initiative. And that is not just an opinion. It was something that Mitch McConnell said very early on. And so I'm interested in how that opposition and that stated opposition played in his ultimate success and in getting many of his agenda items through.
Well, it's quite something to recall that on the evening when the Obamas were dancing at the inauguration balls, there was a gathering of Republican leaders in Washington who met for several hours to discuss just what they would do in response to this guy's election. And the conclusion they reached was that they would oppose him en masse on every opportunity. And so if Obama had said, you know, he wanted apple pie to be the national pie, they would propose that it be cherry. There wasn't anything this guy could ask for that they intended to go along with. And as a result, I think he was seen to be failing when it came to healing the political rift in our country. And no one would say that it got much better. I think we're more divided today than we were when Obama arrived. But the blame doesn't all belong to him. This was a very unified opposition that they were determined to deny him the cover of bipartisanship. And this came out with the Obamacare proposal in stark relief. You know, he courted so many Republicans who almost tantalized him with the idea that, well, I could give you my vote and then it will be more of a bipartisan matter. But when it came time for people to cast their votes, it was right along party lines. And you could argue that Obama had failed at enlisting the opposition in any meaningful way. I don't think it was for lack of trying, but that was not the reality that he met when he went to Washington. Now, the other part of it, and I'll try and make this brief, is he was no Lyndon Johnson. He's not the kind of guy who likes to backslap and meet over drinks and socialize. And I think in Washington, that still counts for something. And he was seen as failing in that regard.
No drama Obama. I mean, that's what we were told from the beginning, right? That this was not a man who was going to be overly gregarious. He was just going to keep his nose down and do his job.
Well, and he is a very cool character.
Yes.
I don't think that a person from his generation of African-American and white parents who succeeded at the level that he succeeded at, could be anything but cautious. I think he was painfully aware of the expectations of race and of white Americans really watching him so carefully to see if he would favor one group over another. And it was that lack of drama that probably permitted his success. But you're right. You know, he had this rule of don't do stupid stuff, and yet it also meant that he didn't seem very warm and very authentic at moments when he should have. Now, the exceptions, and I think these were unfortunately many, were times of grief and struggle for the country. And I think he was at his emotional best seeing us through things like Sandy Hook and the killings of 9 people at the church in Charleston, South Carolina. In those moments, he was pitch perfect emotionally, and I think he was what the country needed.
You spoke a moment ago at the beginning of our conversation about how this is a first draft of history, and we also spoke about the opposition that he saw politically in getting his agenda through initially. I'm curious of how much of that was a political rift and how much of that was a racial rift, and is that an appropriate question to ask for this first draft of history?
Well, race sure is the third rail of American politics. It's an issue that is alive and energized at all times, but we really don't know how to deal with it. And I think he struggled, as every politician does. You know, he gave some very frank addresses on race, but he was seen, for example, in the beer summit where he invited the professor from Harvard and the City of Cambridge police officer to come talk at the White House, as being kind of ham-handed in the way that he responded to things. I don't think you can eliminate race as a factor here. There's a default in our culture that basically says that white, and actually white males, represent sort of the norm for leadership in our country. And this was hard for some Americans to accept, and so you saw the terrible emails that some politicians sent around thinking they would remain secret, or the jokes and cartoons that were obviously racist, and even the whole birther thing. I mean, that was an attempt to make him into the stranger or to the illegitimate president. And I don't think you can detach race from that effort.
Michael D'Antonio is our guest. His new book is A Consequential President, The Legacy of Barack Obama. When we talk about legacy, it seems as though it is impossible not to link that to comparison, especially in these last moments of his administration, of saying, okay, well, what kind of president is he, and not compare him to the man who is about to take the oath of office?
Well, it's inescapable, and I don't think there are two more different kinds of leader. Obama was someone who studied things in great detail, and he really wanted to be briefed thoroughly. I think he stayed up nights. He would talk about how Syria just tormented him, and it was with him when he went to sleep, and it was with him when he awakened. In his successor, Donald Trump, we have this fellow who doesn't want to attend the security briefings that presidents have attended daily for about 50 years. And Trump is about as disengaged and disinterested, I think, as a politician can be. He relies primarily on his emotional instinct. And so we're going to see a big swing in style and in policy, although knowing Trump as I do, I just happen to have a biography of him come out as he began his campaign.
Right.
I can say he's a guy who's willing to change his mind if he sees the benefit to it. He won't change his style. He'll be that same combative, mocking kind of guy on Twitter in the middle of the night. But what he promotes as policy could change radically. If he sees, for example, that the public is reluctant to let go of certain aspects of Obamacare, Trump won't think twice about trying to hold on to them.
When we talk about legacy, however, was his legacy harmed in any lasting way, do you believe, by the outcome of the election? Here was a president who put so much on the line and arguably worked harder for the woman who was to become his successor than any recent politician in memory. So given that Hillary Clinton lost and he put so much on the line, does that hurt his legacy in any way?
Oh, I think it does. I think it does, especially in the short term. People who favored Obama and were committed to the Democratic Party faulted him for not building the party more effectively between the end of his first term and the 2016 election. He has never been that interested in party politics and the infrastructure. This is contrary to his own campaign, which was, in both cases, cutting edge when it came to organization and technology. He just never figured out a way to transfer that popularity to others. And it may be that Obama's charisma is unique and cannot be transferred. I think his approval rating right now is about 55%, and that puts him 11 or 12 points ahead of the incoming president-elect. So much of this is personal and isn't something he was able to transfer to Hillary Clinton. And I think he is rightly very worried about what's going to happen to everything that he tried to do and did accomplish as a completely new regime comes into power and seeks to dismantle it.
It seems as though, and you point this out in the book, and I want to talk about it because I think it really is something that goes unsaid a great deal of the time. But over the last 30 or 40 years, in a political climate that has been plagued by scandal after scandal after scandal, that, as you point out, one of his greatest achievements is how scandal-free this presidency has been, allowing him to restore respect and dignity and ethics to that office.
Well, this is something that his critics won't credit him with, but the facts are pretty clear. There have been no major prosecutions of any figure in the Obama administration. There have been a couple of investigations by Congress that have really gone nowhere. There were more hearings held on Benghazi than on 9/11, and in the end, no evidence of high-level wrongdoing was found. This was a very squeaky, clean administration, and I think some of that goes to the topic of him being a rather cool character that we discussed early on. These were very skilled technocrats who came in with Obama, and I think many of them, they may have been idealistic, but they were also really committed to running things well. And again, this is sort of race-related. If you come in as the first African-American president and all eyes are on you, you may make it your business to be as clean and scandal-free as you could possibly be. And I actually went back all the way to Eisenhower and discovered that there were, in Obama's years, fewer scandals and prosecutions than any president all the way back to Ike.
One of the things that I am interested in talking to you about is that when it comes to how we view the future, that we have elected a president and an administration that is shaping up to have a Congress and a Senate that seems poised to undo so much of what this president has accomplished. And what I'm curious about is given the success and given the fact that he was elected to office twice, what does that say and what does that show about the very strong divisions that we have politically in this country?
Well, we are profoundly divided, aren't we? And it comes down to almost a 50-50 situation where every four, or if a president is lucky, he gets a second term every 8 years, we lurch in the other direction. And it's quite common now to see presidents really ripped to shreds by the opposition. We have this strange situation of our siloed news media environments where people on the left seem to occupy one set of news sites and don't get information from outside that set, and people on the right have their own, as typified by Fox News and a lot of AM talk radio. So we're not really talking to each other. We're talking to ourselves and then saying angry things. And I think that this must be one of the most grievous aspects of Obama's experience, and there's no evidence in the incoming administration that we're going to see anything better. In fact, I think that the last election campaign, I've been around watching these things since the late 60s, may have been the most fragmented and fractured and virulent when it comes to rhetoric of any I've ever seen. And the horrible things that we're saying about each other right now, I don't think are going to go away in people's minds and hearts. So I think Trump is in for just as rough a time as Obama got, and a lot of people are going to point fingers and say, you started it, and the American people will be poorly served.
The name of the new book is A Consequential President, The Legacy of Barack Obama. The book is published by Thomas Dunn Books. Michael, thank you very much for sharing your expertise and your knowledge with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Joe. Thanks a lot.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Michael D'Antonio is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. He is the author of the new book, A Consequential President. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.